This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. Matt Galatson joins us from SI Now, Longhorns country. Texas is going to Alabama to take on the Crimson Tide. Close game last year that went Alabama's way. And we'll talk to him about this matchup in particular. How are you, Matt?
I'm great. How are y'all? Thanks for having me on.
Great. Yeah, Progressive Guest Line. For bundle your home, car, and auto insurance, visit them for a quote at progressive.com. All right, so a lot of players have come and gone on both sides. Is there any nugget at all from last year's game that has been a talking point about this year's game?
Well, I think obviously you have to look at the Quinn Ewers injury. I think a lot of people took that last year as sort of an excuse for why Texas lost the game. And a lot of people thought, you know, not too dissimilarly from the national championship about a decade ago, that had Ewers finished out the game, Texas would have had a better shot. I'm not necessarily sure I buy that, because I thought Hudson Card played pretty well in that game. And Ewers is a very talented quarterback, but I just don't think that he has the experience and the wherewithal to go into Tuscaloosa and deal with that environment necessarily.
Right.
He's been in some tough environments before, but I think that one thing that that is also on a lot of people's minds is Dallas Turner still in Quinn Ewers' mind after that hit last year? Because
yeah,
he drove
sure.
him into the ground. He ended the game. He might have a little PTSD from that hit. I know I would. So that's something that a lot of people have been talking about as well.
What's the one strategic element that Texas is going to need to do against Alabama offensively?
Well, I think they have to control the trenches, which is obviously is a lot easier said than done against the Alabama Crimson Tide. They looked very rough against Rice last week. Ewers got hit a lot more than Sark wanted. They had some trouble running the ball at times, and the offensive line kind of looked like it was overmatched a little bit. And that's not something you want to see when you're heading into Tuscaloosa and taking on a Nick Saban team, because that's what they're known for, is dominating the trenches. And if Texas can't figure out a way to get some consistency along that front, which, you know, last year against Alabama played very well, and it's mostly a return of the same group. If they can't find a way to fix the issues from last week, it could be a really long night for Texas's offense.
How good is Texas's weapons? I mean, how many weapons does Quinn Ewers have to throw to? There seems to be a lot of good players there. What is your grade on the talent around him?
In terms of talent around him at the skill positions, I think that Texas is the best in the Big 12. And would be right up there near the top of the SEC or any other conference as well. The receiver group is as deep as you'll find in college football.
Right.
For the A.D. Mitchell, Alabama already knows all about A.D. Mitchell. Both of those guys are elite pass catchers on the outside. Jordan Whittington working the inside as a slot receiver, very tough guy to bring down, very tough guy to stop in space. Tavion Sanders is, you know, arguably the most talented tight end in the country, not named Brock Bowers. So, you know, they've got a lot of guys that can catch the ball. They got a lot of guys that can get the ball to on the outside. The running back room is also very talented. It's just very young. Jonathan Brooks has shown that he can be a game breaker. CJ Baxter, last year's number one running back in the country, showed some real good stuff last week before he was taken out of the game with a minor injury. Keelan Robinson, who's a former Alabama guy, and, you know, anytime he touches the ball, he could take it to the house potentially. And then they got another guy named Jadon Blue, who was at one point in his recruitment the number one running back in the country. So they've got a lot of talent there. The difference is Texas's talent on the outside at receiver and a tight end has proved that it can perform. The running back room still has a lot to prove, though.
What was the thought process on this team going into this season? Last year, it's 8-4, close losses. But what was the feeling of what they needed to do to get to the next level that Steve Sarkisian wants to take them?
Well, I think it's about finishing, and it's about coming out strong. Those are two areas where Texas has not been able to consistently put a game together. They either start real fast and finish poorly and let a team get back into it, or vice versa. You know, last year against Oklahoma was probably the one example of Texas showing what they're truly capable of. And they came out there and they beat the brakes off of Oklahoma, won 49-0, and the game was over by halftime. There is still after all of the double digit blown leads in 2021 in Sark's first year, they still had a couple of issues with that last year, and then you know this year the first game of the season they start slow again, and it's just like, okay, when are we going to put together a real complete game? And the other time that they were able to do that last year, oddly enough, was against Alabama. They came out fast. They finished strong. They just, you know, missed a couple breaks here and there. Otherwise, it's a different ball game. But Steve Sarkisian has completely changed the mindset and the culture of the program. And I think that they do truly believe that they can compete with Alabama this weekend. And if they can take that mindset and put it into starting fast and finishing strong and all the things that we talked about, then, you know, they could be pretty successful.
This is going to be a normalcy next year when they go to the SEC. I love talking to guys like you who have real boots on the ground in these situations, because we can always speculate being on the outside. But what is the feeling of people you talk to and have talked to over the last year or so since the decision to go to the SEC? Are Texas fans excited about this? Because I feel like this, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's one school that doesn't feel like it should need a conference, it's Texas. It's so big, it has its own network. It doesn't feel like it needs the SEC, but how do people feel about moving on to this big conference?
As far as Texas fans go, I think that everybody's really, really excited. Every sense that I get is that, you know, Texas fans are ready for the new adventure. They're ready to head to Athens. They're ready to head to Oxford and Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge on a weekly basis, and they're ready for that challenge. I think it's funny because this all came about last year, and everybody got all, you know, up in an uproar and all that stuff, and you know, we all got really excited. But I refuse to believe that Texas didn't know this was coming when they hired Steve Sarkisian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he would have necessarily taken this job. I mean, maybe he would have. He was looking for a new shot. Texas is a big place. You can do that. But I don't know that he would have taken this job specifically if he had not known that the SEC was on the horizon. I can't prove that. I don't have any facts about that. It just makes sense to me. And the way that he's built the roster since he arrived in Austin has completely cemented the fact in my mind that he knew that he needed an SEC roster from day one.
Right.
It's the way that he was building in the trenches, the way that he was recruiting quarterbacks, unlike, you know, anybody had recruited quarterbacks in Austin before. It's everything that he's done all the way along the road has suggested to me that he knew the SEC was coming. And I think the fans have seen it, and I think that the way that Texas is recruited and the product that they are capable of putting on the field, there's no way that the Texas fans aren't just salivating at the thought of all these primetime SEC matchups. Because let's face it, what's a better matchup on a Saturday in, you know, late September or early October? Is it Texas versus Baylor and Waco? Or is it Texas versus LSU in Baton Rouge at night with the crowd rocking and playing neck?
That's like, right.
I mean, come on.
I got a minute, but where is Arch Manning in the echelon here of quarterbacks? When do we expect to see him? Not to see him? I get it. If you played him against Rice, you have a zillion questions you don't want to have for Alabama week. But where is Arch Manning in this process?
So I think that he is quite clearly third string. And I don't think that's a knock against him, because he's a freshman. He hasn't done anything yet. He's been in the program for a few months. Quinn is the cemented starter, barring a disaster or injury. And I think Malik Murphy has earned that second team spot. He played phenomenally throughout the spring. He played phenomenally throughout the summer. And he's grown a lot. And he's, quite honestly, every bit as talented as any other quarterback on not only on the roster, but in the Big 12. I mean, the guy's got an elite arm talent. He just needs to put a couple other things together, and he's kind of raw. And Arch, they're not in a rush with Arch. As much as people want to see him on the field and the hype surrounding him, it's Quinn's team this year. It will be Quinn's team, barring a disaster, like I said. And they don't want to put any pressure on Arch that doesn't need to be there. And playing him last week or playing him the other time doesn't really seem like a good idea unless they have some sort of specific plan for him and then a game cap on him.
Gotcha. Mac, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game this weekend in Tuscaloosa. Mac Galatson, SI on Longhorns. We'll continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.